Hello and welcome to Dateline New Haven. I'm your host, Paul Bass, inviting you to look behind the headlines on the stories that make New Haven tick. Folks, it's now a tradition. It's official. A great event called Opera-palooza makes New Haven tick in August. The free event, which debuted to great applause last summer, returns to the New Haven Green this on Saturday, August 19th. So mark your calendars, August 19th, Saturday. Divas and soloists from throughout Connecticut will perform arias from 7 to 9 p.m. on the New Haven Green. Everyone go for free, and you can not just hear good music, but feel your bellies. More mobile food than you can eat in a month will be available from carts and trucks lined up on Temple. Now, the man who really makes New Haven tick, City Cultural Affairs Chief Andrew Wolf, is here in the WNHH studio where he's always a cherished presence. Fill us in. He's come with one of the star soloists, Charlie Widmer, and Simon Holt, the conductor. He's back from last year. And a special thank you to Yale New Haven Hospital for providing support for today's program. Welcome, everyone. Nice to see you on Tuesday morning.
Thank you, Paul.
So how's it shaping up? Are we all ready for a great Opera-palooza to follow up from last year?
Well, you got to know how much we appreciate the shout-out, Paul. And also, we're joined by Molly Fitzmaurice, who happens to be our Yale President's Public Service Fellow this summer. And it's a tremendous learning experience, I hope, for Molly as well, because we're all learning. But we also believe from last summer that opera is such a wonderful way to bring people who have not been able to resource this genre of music because of the cost of tickets for an evening of Italian arias. Why Italian? Because our sister city is Amalfi.
And we have a great Italian-American population. People, we discovered last summer you did this event, which was a risk, right? It was something new you were trying. We're trying so many different kinds of cultural events in New Haven.
Yes.
But I mean, New Haven, we have jazz on the green. We have R&B. We have folk. We have all sorts of arts and ideas stuff. But we found out last summer when you debuted this event that people loved opera. I mean, loved it. I heard from so many people, all walks of life, that they just loved this event. Why was that, Simon? What happened?
Well, I think it was not only the music that was sung, but the fact that it was young singers singing it.
Oh, okay. So these are people who are sort of up-and-comers?
Yeah, exactly. They're the state's, in fact, New England's most exciting emerging artists. So what we do is we send out invites to all the local school music programs, and the voice teachers there send in names of singers they think would really enjoy this event. And we listen to sound bites, and we listen to and watch YouTube films of them singing, and then we pick 10 of, you know, the most exciting artists that we can find and put together a program of really well-known operas. That's the other thing, really well-known opera arias.
So it's they get the young talent, they have variety, but it's also pieces you would know.
Yeah,
arias
exactly.
You know. So Simon, tell me who we are. Remind us who you are and what your background is with opera.
Sure.
The work
Thank
you've done
you for
over
that.
The years.
Yeah. So I live in Stonington, Connecticut, and I run Saltmarsh Opera, which was a company I began 17 years ago. And one of the things that we really try very hard to do is to find emerging artists to actually put up on our main stage. So this event really fits in with what Saltmarsh Opera is doing.
Perfect. Andy, yep. You're about to jump in here.
I just wanted to say we found Simon last year to benefit our city. And Paul and I, you know, we've had this shared interest in regionalizing Connecticut because we're so small, but we have such talent. So Simon has been joined by Wendy Morgan Hunter from Westport, Find Your Voice. And together, they have put together an incredible summer experience for next Saturday night. I also wanted to just do a shout out, Paul, to the sponsor, which this year comes from Brantford, Subaru, Kia.
Oh, and, excellent.
Yes, Premier Bob Alvine, an incredible patron of the arts, just to show that New Haven is really the region and we're the hub and we want everyone to enjoy this.
Now,
experience.
Andy, since you've been here now, I guess it's 3 years in the job, 3.5. Part of your mission has always been to make sure something exciting and fun, just fun to do in New Haven. New Haven is by far the most fun place in Connecticut. And it's not a joke. I mean, people come with it's called Music Hall, these free events we have.
Eccentric.
And, you know, dinners, plays. That you're getting all these special events happening without really much city money. And this doesn't have much city money either, does it?
This is very
entrepreneurial. You just mentioned Subaru.
As Simon mentioned, the young talent, the entrepreneurs of culture are really the future for New Haven. We're going to be doing it more and more and more.
But how did you leverage? So did you leverage outside funding as usual to make this happen?
Yes.
You're good at that, man.
I try.
You come up with the idea and you find the talent. And you tell us about it at Dateline New Haven on WNHH Radio, your home for community radio at 103.5 FM, live streamed at newhavenindependent.org. And we're here talking to Andy Wolf from the City Culture Affairs Office, Simon Holt, who's a conductor. Charlie Widmer is going to be one of the star soloists this Saturday, August 19th from 7 to 9 p.m. on the New Haven Green Opera Palooza. Now, tell us a little bit, walk us through that night. What is going to happen and when? Does it start earlier with the food trucks?
No.
We decided this year, last year was actually 6 o'clock, and we decided to actually push it back an hour and start at 7 this next year. The reason being, we had created some incredible lights to go on that stage that the city of New Haven now
owns. And it doesn't have to be all dark for lights. It's actually kind of cool when you're just starting to get a little...
Exactly right. Excuse me. But the real great thing about this year, by having a 7 o'clock start time, it means that we can really sort of use the
I'm
opportunity
trying to think.
For
so
some
sundown
great lights.
By that time will be around
7:30.
7:30. So yeah. You start at 7. Was that sundown or is that when it just starts going down?
It's really when it begins going down.
Yeah, because that's like 18 minutes before sundown,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. And then we will go till 9 o'clock. So it will
It'll get darker. The lights will become brighter.
Exactly.
But it gives that warm glow to the green.
Exactly.
When do the food trucks start?
And like the opera, we'll make sure the sun goes down on time.
what time does the food start? Like when should people start hanging out?
I'll have to ask Molly that. 6 o'clock. So people can come from 6 and help themselves.
And in addition to the usual suspects, I seem to remember, Andy, there was some special food with an Italian theme last year, right? And people, just long lines. It was just, people just loved it.
It was great.
So what was some of these special Italian-themed food? Do you remember?
We're pushing, of course, our signature pizza, claim to fame, cannoli, Italian ice.
Right, I remember the cannolis. The
cappuccino,
ice.
Espresso, everything
this is
to
be great.
Put people in the mood.
All right, so one of the people you found here is in our studio, Charlie Widmer, who lives in
Oxford.
And Charlie, I'm going to ask you to get real close to the mic because you're used to being on a mic.
Hello.
There you go, Charlie. And Charlie, how long have you been doing opera? You're 21 years old?
I am 24, and I've been singing opera since I was 18.
Got you into opera? Like, most kids don't get into opera.
I honestly got into opera not even because I was really into it, but more so because, at a younger age, like around 16, 17, I suddenly had a real strong goal to try and be the best singer I could be. And whether or not I had the knowledge at that time, I thought, well, the hardest thing to sing is opera. So, I guess if I want to be a great singer, I need to study the hardest thing to sing.
And why did you want to be a great singer?
I think that there's just something about the thrill of singing and trying to best yourself. And at that point, I was singing a couple musicals in high school. And really at that point, it was the next step. I wanted to try and master basically a small fraction of my body to do what I needed to do all the time.
Well, I want to ask you more about that, but first I want to hear you sing. Sam, you ready there for video? We're gonna hear from Charlie Widmer. This is a taste, folks.
Do you want me to sing it into this thing?
Yeah, don't get as close if you're belting. I got the controls here, don't worry.
All right.
Charlie Widmer, 24-year-old, rising star, opera, and we're going to talk about how it's not just opera.
Yeah.
He is going to be singing at Opera Palooza on August 19th, free on the green, along with other solos. What are you going to be singing now, Charlie?
I'm actually going to sing just the opening section to this aria called Una Furtiva Lagrima, which is from the Elixir of Love. I actually got to sing it last year because of these guys on the green, and I'll just give you guys a little taste of that. Whew. Okay, it's on. Let's do it. Una furtiva lacrima negli occhi suoi spuntò quella festosa giovani invidiar sembrò. I'll just say that.
All right.
Bravo.
Nice.
Make YouTube. And what's the name of that again?
That is Una Furtiva Lagrima. Yeah.
How do you spell Una Furtiva
Lagrima? U-N-A. Mm-hmm. Una Furtiva is F-U-R-T-I-V-A. Mm-hmm. And Lagrima is L-A-G-R-I-M-A.
Okay. What does that mean?
It means a furtive tear. And
a furtive?
The aria is from this section in the opera where the main character, Nemorino, has suddenly become very wealthy and has no idea that he's become very wealthy. So all these women think, remember, it's Elixir of Love. So he drinks this potion, which is really just liquor. And what happens is he's starting to feel really good, and all these women are flocking to him. But the woman he really loves sees this happening and runs off crying. And when she runs off crying, he's kind of in this like moment of shock where he's like, I mean, like, she's got to love me, right? He sees her cry, and he says that a furtive tear sprung from her eye. You know, I mean, it can't mean, like, she seems to be envious of them. Like, she's got to love me. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he wins her, and it's a beautiful part of
it. Now, Simon Holt, how typical a theme is that for an aria? What are we usually singing about?
We're normally singing about this, either love or death. And it's normally in that
or
order,
both, yeah.
And straight after one another.
Really, and yeah, when we go to the green and hear Charlie sing that, will people know what the song's about?
Yeah, we're actually going to be having, as we did last year, an MC. And this is a sort of, not only is it in his or her own self, for those of you listening who were at Opera Palooza last year, we had a mezzo-soprano called Suzanne Mensah, who came in from the West Coast, also a very, very well-known Met mm-hmm. opera singer. So we try to find MCs that are not only sort of renowned singers in their own way, but also very, very supportive of young singers. And this year, David Pitsinger is our MC, who is a renowned bass, who also is from the state of Connecticut, Paul, and lives just about an hour away from New Haven, but has been on the stage many times at the Met. He also is a crossover artist, so also sings a lot of musical theater as well.
So yeah, this is such a mission for you, Simon. It has been, I guess, for many, many years.
Oh, sure.
Why do you want to enable singers like Charlie to find the audience? Why do you want the audience to have more accessibility to opera?
It's a number of things. I think, first of all, there is still this idea that opera is inaccessible, that it's sung by middle-aged, older singers on a stage miles away from the audience.
Like Charlie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's one thing is that the audience has no real connection to what's going on stage. One of the things about doing opera with younger singers and in smaller venues as well mm-hmm. is that it's building up this idea of really connecting a theme in an opera with the audience so that they can actually experience something that they can really relate to in their own lives. And so having an MC who can really help with that and explain each aria and then have that added bonus where he will sing to us right at the end of the show as well.
Oh, that sounds great.
Is really cool.
Oh, that sounds so much fun. Now, Charlie, I actually heard you sing mm-hmm. last week.
Right.
I was at Cafe 9.
That's
correct. So was Andy Wolf and some other people. You were with a group called Suburban. Great name.
Thank
I guess
you.
Living in Oxford, does that make you sub or urban?
That makes us, well, we call ourselves suburban because we like to consider the music we make semi-urban music. You know what I mean? So because it's like such hip-hop influenced music and everything that about the sound goes back to hip-hop, for us, that's why there's that urban flavor. But since our sound covers everything, it's semi.
So I was kind of hearing pretty straight-ahead R&B mm-hmm. mixed with rap. Is that mm-hmm. a good way to put it?
Absolutely, yeah. We call it neo-soul hip-hop fusion. So, you know, neo-soul is the new version of soul that's coming out. Like, a lot of the groups we're inspired by are like Hiatus Coyote, Thundercat, who's doing a lot of stuff for the big hip-hop stars right now. And even some of what's happening with like Odd Future, some of these new guys coming up, these really talented young artists that are have an understanding of like pocket feel within within the music. So it's still singing, but it always has this like backbeat kind of hip hop feel to it that you can kind of bop your head to.
And then your brother's name, what's your brother's name?
Fred.
Fred
Widmer.
White.
Yeah.
Widmer.
Yeah.
And how old's he?
He is 21. He's his rap name is F1. Gonna start get that out there.
How do you spell the EFF or just
EFF? EFF, yeah, EFF-ONE, yeah.
So now you were growing up, did you both like to sing growing up? Or he liked to rap, you liked to sing?
I think, we both got into singing just because our family's very musical to an extent. It skipped a generation, but our grandparents are very musical. And he started rapping when he was 13. So it was really kind of one of those things, like we talk about it a lot because at the time he had never rapped before. And it was one of those things where, like, you know, he's an incredible writer, an incredible poet. I mean, you know, since he was like in third grade, he'd get recognized in awards. And so it was really one of those things where me and him loved hip hop so much. And it was just like, let's just try this out. You know, we'd get
so
in
you
the
didn't
car.
Know opera at that time.
No.
That just became the thing when you were 16, said, I want to just do the hardest kind of
Yeah,
singing.
Yeah. I was 18 years old. I wanted to go to school for music. And what you find is a lot of times, unless you're going to go to school like Berkeley, I think there really aren't a lot of contemporary programs. And I'm so glad for that because, studying opera and studying classical singing, I mean, it takes a certain amount of dedication. I mean, studying classical music, period, as you know, to the point where the amount of sacrifices you make, the amount of time you put into the art form, it creates a kinship with people that cannot be explained. I mean, you know, it's something that when you meet another musician, you're instantaneously friends with them. I mean, unless they're like mean people to begin with, but I mean, it's just a kinship that you feel like the minute you
connect
eyes.
Right, I thought folk singers, Andy, didn't they say how many does it take to change a light bulb? One to screw in the bulb and the other to remove the chair from under you.
Exactly.
So Charlie, but see, what I was interested about, so you'd have a verse, you'd be doing what I would consider mm-hmm. somewhat straight ahead R&B number where you're singing, mm-hmm. at least last Thursday night at Cafe 9. Mm-hmm. And then you have interesting stuff going on with the musicians. You have kind of that kind of backbeat. Mm-hmm. And then the next verse, your brother would rap.
Yeah.
And you would go back and forth with the rap and mm-hmm. singing. How did you come up with that idea of combining that?
Well, you know, as we push forward, even with our own music, and as we write music as a group, we're trying to do that more and more because I think we both have something we want to communicate. And, you know, since we're related, I think we know each other better than most people.
I love
can,
that
you
when
know?
You see brothers like Mighty Purple's like that for years. Mm-hmm. You see the brothers who can communicate in ways that aren't spoken mm-hmm. and anticipate each other and build on each other. And I was watching that happen on Thursday night. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
A lot of love there.
No. Me and my brother, for us, it's like, you know, I say that, you know, this is why it's such a great honor to work with musicians like Simon, you know, because there is this mission to try and help us out, you know, because, you know, without the help of people, you can't make it happen.
Now, you write I noticed at least some of the songs were originals, right? Mm-hmm. Is it mostly original, some?
I think that that night we probably did a cover. So everything you heard other than we did a cover of Michael Jackson's I Can't Help It.
Right.
Which, oh, goodness, I hope he doesn't come after me. But, you know, other than that, all of it is, all of them are originals.
And how long you been a band?
We have been a band for almost 2 years, but we're dropping an album in 2 weeks, so finally dropping.
What's it called?
It's going to be called Everybody Knows, off of it's the title track of the album. So
yep, we heard that one.
Yeah.
And do you have YouTube videos up?
Yes, we just dropped two new videos, the series that we did called Live at UNH at University of New Haven, some of the students there that we had met through doing shows.
And it's under Suburban if people want to find
them. Yeah, Sub-Urban.
So tell me about the difference singing opera and neo soul hip hop fusion.
I think the pressure is about the same. You always have this feeling you just want to perform well, but it's a different kind of energy. When you sing classical music, there's more of this idea of that I need to be in character, that I need to find out what my motivation is, those kinds of things that you hear, those cliches, you know. But really you're trying to become another person. And so,
and that's not true with rap, Run DMC, or
no,
those,
not so
they're
much.
Trying to be themselves.
You're just trying to be you, and that's the hardest thing, right? Is you want to be you, but you also, you know, with our group, we have such a big live energy that, you know, at a certain point, you want to lose yourself in the music, but then, you know, it's so many things. Like with my role in that group, I try and also kind of music direct. So you'll see
that.
Me, you'll see me like calling stuff out, or I'll say one more, you know, and you got to keep track of all the lyrics in your head, and then, you know, it's not like opera where, you know, there's to an extent you get a rest period, you know, like if you're singing a 2 hour opera, you're not singing for 2 hours straight. You know, you're singing when you're on stage. And if your role is smaller, then thankfully you don't have to sing for really long periods of time. Cause you know, on top of it, there is no amplification system for most shows unless, you know, the theater requires it, but you're trying to sing over on average, what, like 30 plus musicians, mm-hmm. you know, you're trying to sing over them, carry your sound, carry your diction, you know, and that's a, that's a difference between singing like R&B, where I can relax, I can sing really soft and you'll still hear me. But then with opera, I have to kind of sing a certain dynamic for it to carry. And it's exhausting. It can be very taxing. And if you have, that's what we're working on. You're trying to master coordination so that when you're in those moments, you don't have to think about things like, oh man, I got to get a bigger breath. Like, you're trying to make all these things instinctive, and it's much different, Like, there's freedom, but it's a different kind of freedom.
That's interesting. What do you think when you're hearing that, Simon? Because I'm sure a lot of the young people you work with must sing in different genres.
Yeah. But and I think he's absolutely right. I think the biggest challenge for a young singer is actually making a loud enough sound. Really, over the orchestra.
Because if you're in a band, you're used to the microphone, right?
Yeah. And also, as you age as a singer, your voice does settle and it actually gets louder.
Oh.
Yeah. Your body, you gain resonance, and there's like age brackets, basically, that we can kind of like divide the growth of a voice. Like for men, especially for tenors, it's like up until 25 to 27. I think even for all men, the growth of the voice doesn't stop. So we aren't really used to our voices until around that age. And then we still have to now this is what my voice is going to be like basically the rest of my life. And if you have a good teacher, good technique, and you don't ruin your voice before then, you can try and help it age like a fine wine. It's like storing wine. But if you do it badly, you ruin it. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with the voice.
So Simon and Andy, we're talking about Opera Palooza here on WNHH Radio's Dateline New Haven, 103.5 FM, live streamed at New Haven and Penn.org. And we're up on Facebook Live as well. So this is the second year.
Yep.
Last year was much bigger success than I think people even thought it was going to be. What did you learn? Are you doing anything different this year, or replicating anything you tried last year that really seemed to work?
We're trying to make the event more of an event for people. As I said earlier, by having a later start, it means that we'll have more of a sort of a light show, if you like. So, we'll sort of make the whole event more of an event. So that when So the hope is when people leave, they say, that was a fantastic evening. I was really entertained from start to finish.
Okay, we got a call from someone who's usually here, Norma Rodriguez-Reyes, who's the publisher of LaVos. How you doing, Norma?
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Good. Nice to hear your voice.
It's really great to see that Charlie is being interviewed. I had an opportunity to see him on Thursday night over there at Cafe 9. Him and his brother are excellent. But, I was wondering if you can ask him about him participating in Switzerland's Got Talent. He was one of the runner-ups for Switzerland's Got Talent, and it's really emotional.
Oh,
and
my.
And it's also on YouTube.
So you wanted to ask, you already have. So Switzerland's Got Talent. I didn't know that Switzerland had talent. I knew they had Alps. Thank you very much for that question, Norma. So, Charlie Widmer, tell me about Switzerland's Got Talent and what happened there.
It was kind of like a freak thing. I mean, it's called the direct Swiss name of it is Die größte Schweizer Talente.
Hey, you're good with different languages.
I try, but that one I had to learn how to pronounce. That's like so close to Swiss German, and so. It actually, what was really cool about it was my father sent in a video of me singing with my choir at Western Connecticut State University when I was still there. I think I was a sophomore at the time. And it was my first big solo. And actually, Mayor Tony Harp came to the performance. So it was this big thing. I was super nervous. It was our first concert in the brand new hall that they had just built over there. So it's this beautiful space. And I sang... In That Great Getting a Morning, which is like a gospel piece, but I sing it very classically. And so my dad sent this video in, and I had no idea. He just said, keep looking out. You might get an email. And sure enough, they emailed me and said, we'd love for you to come for casting and stuff like that. But I was going into my senior year of college, and I said, look, that would be great, but maybe next year. I don't want to miss out on my senior year and mess up anything that could be happening. And so... my dad ended up getting a call from one of the producers, and they said, look, we know he can sing. I mean, it was a live performance. So, if he wants, we'll put him on TV. And so it was one of those like, what do you mean? So in November, it was right before Thanksgiving, me and my brother flew to Switzerland, because we'd go every summer to visit my father.
Father's in Switzerland?
Mm-hmm, he lives there. So we would go every year to visit him. And so now it was like our first time going in November to Switzerland. And the video that they ended up making was, we spent the whole day getting filmed and all this stuff and interviews. And And so this video, even if you just type in my name, it comes up. And so I had the opportunity of singing that same aria, the one I just sang a little piece of, on the television show. And yeah, it was probably one of the most amazing experiences of my entire life. I
mean, so what was the show called in English?
I mean, I would just, if anybody was trying to look this up, I would just tell them, just type in my name, Charlie Widmer, and that's it.
Charlie with an IE.
Yeah, exactly. Don't type in.
So you got second place in a national competition on
no,
TV.
No, so a lot of times people get confused because what happened was, I sing an Italian aria in front of a Swiss-German audience as an English speaker. So it was like I was setting myself, I thought they were trying to set me up, but you know, it ended up working out in such a way that, you know, my family was there, people were crying, it was a standing ovation, and it was crazy. It was like it was like the most amazing experience of my entire life. They all said yes, all the judges said yes, but then they have this final voting period at the end, and they didn't end up letting me go through. So everybody said yes, but then they had their reasons for not letting me on.
So you got to sing on national TV.
Yeah, I got broadcast. Yeah, I got something good.
So Andy wanted to pop in.
Oh, no, I say yes as well, Charlie. I just wanted to comment that the other innovation this summer that is so exciting is New Haven has inaugurated its new performance stage, thanks to Mayor Harp.
Oh,
and
wow.
She is our number one opera fan. She was so inspired
last
year.
She did have a great time last year. Yeah.
The stage that Simon and his team produced last summer became the template for our new stage for permanent use on the green. And it's really a work of engineering wonder.
Wow.
And I think
people will
be dazzled.
And how many singers are we going to have in those 2 hours?
Ten.
And the orchestra is?
The orchestra is going to be about 30 players from around the state.
Okay, so it's not a name of an orchestra. It's when you assemble.
We should just call it the Opera Palooza Orchestra, shouldn't we?
There it is.
How'd you come up with the name Opera Palooza?
Andy, how did you come up with that name?
I think it was a group effort. We were sitting over Japanese sushi and coming up with all sorts of names. And we went back to our respective offices. And before you knew it, we had Opera Palooza.
Now, do you think, and the answer doesn't have to be yes for this, before we sign off, would you like to sing another snippet of an app?
No, I'm good.
I got enough for today. Okay. We're going to show people online when we write an article about this, some of your other videos as well. Any final words you want to have about Opera Palooza before we move on?
I just think it's a actual reflection of the culture that we're trying to produce in New Haven that is just diverse, exciting, extremely witty, smart, stylish, and sometimes
it's just
very
fun,
eccentric.
Liveliest place to
yes.
be anywhere is New Haven.
Absolutely.
In the summer. And Andy, we got the Grand Prix coming up. And what are some other big things?
Tomorrow night, Wednesday night, we have our final Cool Breeze concert on the green. In the parks. Mm-hmm. This week, it's at Worcester Square.
We've had Cool Breeze all summer.
5 to 8 o'clock.
It's amazing how much stuff we can't even come up with. Anything else in the fall we should know about?
We've got the block party for all our university students from 6 universities coming back. And
nice.
Just a whole assortment of wonderful activities.
Well, Andy Wolf, one reason I love to live in New Haven is because you live here.
Thank you,
and
Paul.
You make so many fun things happen besides just being a great guy to bump into on the street. Simon Holt is going to be conducting Opera Palooza. Charlie Widmer is going to be the conductor for the event for the second year running. So whatever you do, folks, August 19th, 7 to 9 p.m., you don't need to bring any money to get in, but you might want to go to the food trucks. Come here, Charlie Widmer and 9 other soloists backed by 30 orchestra musicians at Opera Palooza on the New Haven Green. You can't miss it. It's just not an option. All right?
Thank you, Paul.
Bravo,
right.
Thanks Paul.
Thanks for joining us on Dateline New Haven. Thanks to Yale New Haven Hospital for providing support. We're going to take it out with the Afro-Semitic Experience performing I Wish I Knew How It'd Feel to Be Free from the group CD A Plea for Peace. Now we know what it's like to be free. We just got to remember to book our flight. Book your flight with us all day and all night long here at WNHH, New Haven's home for community radio.